Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. The word of God for the people of God.
Give yourselves a hand, applause. Round of applause, give yourselves a hand. Yeah, that's, some of you wanted to do that and recognize just the amazing way that we are responding, that we're showing up. And I'm going to have you give yourself another round of applause. Let's try that one more time, this time louder. That is good, because you guys deserve it, because you showed up today. Actually, you showed up whether in person or online. You're here. You took a big step. You took a step in the long, steady walk of being available, of showing up. That means that you have made time and space in your life to say, wow, there's something important about coming and gathering together in weekly worship. So thank you for being here. Thank you for learning about today the practice of worship. We're on this long, steady walk trying to learn about the different practices that can help encourage us and inspire us as we grow in our faith. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me, and we'll get right into the message. Holy Spirit, inspire us in these moments together. Remind us that you have called us for such a time as this to inhabit one another's prayers, to be present with each other, to worship you, and to connect in and through community. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 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 Well, some of you may be new here. Some of you may have just showed up this summer, or maybe you've just recently started watching online. A few months ago, as the spring was ending and we were moving into the summer, we had a message series called This Summer. And in that message series, we were encouraging and challenging each of us, even those of us on staff, those of you in our congregation and part of our community, to take time to rest this summer, to engage with God, to engage with new practices, so we could all kind of replenish and find Sabbath and renewal. So I took that challenge. Did anybody else take some of that challenge this summer? Tom? Yeah. My family took the challenge in a big way. I was invited to a theology conference out in Wyoming, and I was trying to figure out how could I do that as a dad. And what we did is we took the epic family road trip. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah, maybe as a kid, your parents packed you into the car, or maybe you've done that with your kids. But yeah, we traveled all the way out and back, hit a bunch of national parks. It was amazing. There was a lot of opportunity to get to know each other a little bit more in that minivan, I can tell you that. We were there. It was a long, steady trip, about 6,000 miles altogether. And on our way home, we stopped at Red Fleet State Park, and we swung down in through Utah. We were intrigued by the possibility of dinosaur footprints. And so we set up camp. We put everything together. It was pretty hot and sweaty, but the kids wanted to see these dinosaur footprints. So the sun was getting close to sunset, and we drove out of the park to this trailhead, walked a little over 2 miles to get to these dinosaur footprints. And they were amazing. It was on this huge slope of rock. But even more than that, we found this great place where the kids were able to jump off the side of this cliff into the refreshing waters of the reservoir. Here's one of my kids making that jump. This is Lily Jo. You would have seen her acolyting earlier this morning. She is an adventure queen. And that's not even the highest jump. The kids, they just kept wanting to go higher and higher up there. Splash! Oh my goodness, it was exhilarating. It was an opportunity for them to plunge with joy into these crisp, refreshing waters of the reservoir. And that was a reward. It was exploring and squeezing out every ounce of fun that they could from God's creation and glory. In those moments, they were fully alive. Now, not all of the road trip was like Instagram worthy or Facebook worthy. There were definitely those, yeah, you know that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There are times when the minivan felt like a Mini Cooper. And even though we went through those trials and those moments where the kids realized that, do I really want to be your brother or sister this much longer? It was worth it. The holy moments, the moments that we experienced of sheer joy were worth it. And so I hope you got an opportunity to experience some of those moments. I hope you were able to make some space to be with family or friends this summer, to experience the good life, you know. And I hope that you see even more of that good life. And even more so than that, I want you to know today that God doesn't just want you to experience the good life. He wants you to experience your best life. There's this understanding that God has so much more in store for us than we could ever imagine. The best life possible. And part of it happens when we partner with God, when we know what it means to truly worship. As Kelly was saying, to live out our life as worship. There was an early church leader in the second century, just kind of right after the apostles were going out. And this early church leader said it beautifully. He said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. Our best, our fullest, most alive life brings glory to God. To be fully alive in such a way that we participate and give God glory. We participate in creation. We're aware of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what an act of worship is, to resonate, as Tom said, with music, with creation, to feel those chords of the divine speak to us. You might ask yourself, why do we worship? Well, it's in our spiritual DNA. We are created in the image of God. We have the fingerprints of the divine in our very soul. We're hardwired to worship. And we have these receptors that are looking for things to worship. They're ready for us to connect to purpose and passion that is bigger than us, that is greater than us. St. Augustine, one of my favorite church history heroes, says it this way, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, O God." And unfortunately, we're so programmed to worship, these receptors are so open, that when we're restless, when we don't find that deep connection with God, then we'll find other things to worship. We'll find other things to commit our time, our energy, our resources together. And sometimes those are good and noble things. Sometimes those are things that can be very productive. Sometimes they can be things that can just kill time or they can just take up space. They can become idols in our life. But God wants to invite us into a space where we move into a life of worship. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He encourages us to live a life in and through Christ in a way that our everyday lives, as Kelly was sharing earlier, our everyday lives are a spiritual act of worship. That not just the coming and going, but the every moment would be a spiritual act of worship. That's our call. So how do we do this? How do we practice worship in this way? I want to challenge us to take three steps in doing that today. The first step that I want to encourage you to think about is commitment. Those of you, this is kind of that preaching to the choir thing. If you're already here, you're already here. You guys are showing some commitment. You showed up. We want to know that when we move into a relationship of commitment, we are moving into that practice of worship. Now, on our trip, on our journey out west, we camped a couple nights in Yellowstone. We had bison waking us up in the morning at our campsite, but we saw the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone. We saw elk, badgers, eagles, all kinds of wildlife. We saw the Grand Tetons, and we had these moments of, wow, look at the majesty of God's creation. These moments where we felt like we're in the presence of God, and we could tell that there was something special going on. We were looking at that place where it was worth giving worship to. That's the old English word, worth-ship, that something has in its very essence this way to draw our spiritual, our mental, and our physical attention and attraction, about we were stepping back and seeing that what was in us was a sense of wonder and amazement, to be in the presence and the beauty of God, even in the smallest things around us, to resonate with that holy hum of creation. I love the way that the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning says that earth is crammed with heaven, and every bush is aflame with the glory of God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest just pick berries. When we have the eyes to see the inbreaking of heaven all around us, the fingerprints of God cry out from within us. It's our divine spark saying, step back. This is holy ground. The thing is, we can't just stay in that moment. We can't just hope for that next big aha moment, that next big spark of creation or glory or that song to touch our heartstrings in a way. We need to realize that the beginning of wisdom is the awe, the fear of the Lord. It's that first step that we take where we commit to being in a deeper sense of God's reaching out to us to be in the journey as we take that long path forward. In our scripture today in Proverbs, I'm going to ask you to read this with me. We see that this parent is speaking to their child. They want God's best for the child. And this is what we're being invited into. I'm going to ask you to read this with me. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within your heart, you making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. Commitment. We're invited to commit our lives to meeting and connecting in this way. And that moment is at hand right now as we gather together in this very physical and virtual gathering of God's people. We are committing to treasuring up God's word, making our ears attentive to wisdom, and inclining our hearts and minds to understanding. This is the first step of commitment. In gathering, in worship, we carve out space in our lives each week to be a visible collection of lives connected by God's love. Lives that are exploring God's word, offering prayers and praise to the one in whom we move and find our living and breathing. And more so yet, many of you, beyond the Sunday morning experience, you've committed to going deeper still. You're in life groups, or you do daily devotions, or you're reading scripture. You're creating a lifestyle of worship. And that next step after commitment is consistency. Those things, when you start being part of those deeper groups, when you start reading more and praying more, that shows a commitment to consistency. So that's the second thing I want to challenge you to do to build a practice of worship, is to seek those places where you can gather frequently, but also where you can find ways to look more like Jesus. We can learn a lot. We can get information into our heads, but Jesus wants even more than that. Jesus wants transformation of our hearts and our lives. The more we are consistent with studying, with growing, with being in accountability and relationship with others, the more we do works of hope and justice, the more we begin to look like God, the more we begin to let that image of God bear forth from us. We remember that God is worthy, that God invites us into the good life, the abundant life, the joy-filled life. As I mentioned earlier, there are many other things that can distract us from this. There are many other things that can take our attention away, that things that if we put our time and energy into them, we'll miss out on God's best for us. And perhaps you're just worn out, especially as we've journeyed through this pandemic for 18-plus months, as we deal with just everyday life. Even if the pandemic wasn't here, some of us might be saying, I'm just too tired. I just don't have the energy, or why bother? I'm fine with a meh life. I don't need the best life, or, well, maybe I'll just handle the good enough life. You see, God wants us to overcome the drudgery that can fight against our persistence and our consistency by remembering the call to lift our lives up as a spiritual act of worship. I referred to that earlier, that challenge from Paul to make our lives as a spiritual act of worship. He says that not only that, but our lives should be a living sacrifice. And the way to be consistent in our life, the way to each day, each morning, be a living sacrifice is to remember that in some churches, they have an altar. This is our communion table. We're going to be taking part in communion later. And we have a communion table as part of our architecture because we believe it is important to remember that we're gathering at this table. In some churches, they have the altar, which is, oh, remember that we used to sacrifice. That we, in order to get close to God, we used to have to give a sacrificial offering. And the thing that we're reminded in this communion table and in Paul's words is that Jesus was the final offering. That Jesus gave his life for each of us, that greater is no love than that a man would lay down his life for a friend. And that's what Jesus did. But we're asked to continue to give our lives as living sacrifices. And if we had an altar here and we try to take one of our lives up to this altar, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can get down and walk away. That we, like a living sacrifice, can be distracted, can move away from God's love. And God tells us, no, I want you to remember that I call you into relationship and you're called to return to the altar again and again, to keep bringing ourselves as living sacrifices back to the heart of God, back to the relationship where we're invited to come to find new life in this meal. The invitation to keep coming back to the altar, to experience corporate worship each week, it's kind of like mining for silver or like panning for gold. We hear it in this scripture here. Has anybody ever panned for gold or prospected for minerals? A few of you? Yeah. Let's look at this scripture here. It says, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you'll find the knowledge of God. I've got a picture of my kids when they were prospecting. They were out there panning for their little minerals. And the reality is, if you want to find those treasures, you're going to have to get wet. You're going to have to get dirty. You're going to have to work through the slurry and sift out the stones and the rocks that aren't worth anything. And that takes consistency. That takes that commitment of patient persistence. And what they found is that result of being consistent, that result of persevering, were treasures that they couldn't have ever imagined. Glinting and glimmering in the light, there were these beautiful gems, these beautiful rocks that they found, part of God's creation. Now, maybe you find yourself sifting through the sediment, and all you keep finding are stones and debris, no treasures anywhere. Well, persevering and moving in and through the difficult parts, it's tough. But like our 6,000-mile road trip, the treasures to be found, the holy moments, they are immeasurable. And the good news is, pushing through those hard times, moving through those difficult parts of our journey, we don't have to do them alone. We don't have to push up against that resistance all by ourselves. We are called into community. In Hebrews, it reminds us, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Don't give up meeting together. The practice of worship, this practice of worship is strengthened in community. That's what we have here. It's a precious treasure. We continually are shaped and formed by the consistent and intentional practice of worshiping in a community as part of a body of believers. We know and experience the abundant life that Jesus promised us, all the more as we gather together. This final part of Proverbs that I want to remind us of, if you cry out for insight, if you raise your voice for understanding, the Lord gives wisdom. From God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God stores up sound wisdom and is a shield guarding the paths of justice. Now, that sounds like the good life to me. That sounds like the best life. Wisdom, knowledge, protection, justice, equity. A God who invites us to these experiences is worth giving honor to. We need a community to remind us of that. We need a community that we can trust, that can hold us accountable and encourage us when the road gets difficult, when the path is tiring and exhausting. We need someone that can speak life back into us, that can sing our song back to us and say, remember who God is. Remember who God has called you to become. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why we've gathered today, to come to this table, to remember, to step into the invitation of community. There's no mistake that this is called a communion table and that we are called a community of believers, because this is where we meet God and where we meet one another, where we are reconciled and brought back into right relationship. So my friends, I invite you this morning, come to the table. Let your life be a spiritual act of worship.